Hello, and welcome to episode 3 of season 2 of TV West Saves the World, the official West High School podcast. Today with me, I have Ben Bolton and Isaac Youngberg. Would you care introducing yourselves, you fine gentlemen, and perhaps telling us something that we still don't know about you?
Hi, again. Your turn, Isaac.
Hello, my name is Isaac Youngberg, and I like pizza.
Good. I think a lot of people like pizza. I think you're appealing to a mass demographic here. As you may have heard, there is a very popular short-form video platform out there known as TikTok, previously known as Musical.ly, with a dot in between the L and the second L. And this has become incredibly popular with quite a few American downloads in particular. However, the current government has decided that it is a risk to national security. A lot of you, as I'm sure, have either used this service or have been following the story of the services and their qualms throughout the summer. Now, in front of me, I have an explanation for a large part of what has been happening with that company. As some of you may recall, it was declared to be a danger, then a ban was implemented a long time ago. I'm going to quote from a CNN article written on the 21st by Julia Horowitz and Charles Riley from London in the United Kingdom. Who controls it? Is it safe? And has a ban been averted for good? A quick sale of TikTok was forced, and it produced a tentative deal that would see Oracle. I don't know if any of you have heard of that company, but they are a very prominent cloud and just general technology company. And Walmart, much more popular company with certain demographics, and they take a large minority stake, which I think is a interesting oxymoron, in a new U.S. company that will operate TikTok within the United States. The ban was pushed to September 27th, which was just this past Sunday, and the deal was closed half hour before midnight, which was when it would have gone into effect. What is clear is that the fight is about the future. It's a great framework, essentially, for the future of China and United States relations. And the rough new terrain businesses are being forced to navigate as tensions between these economies ramp up. So I'm going to open up the floor to you two. And would you just tell me what your thoughts are and possibly your perspective on this crisis, if it can even be called that, and what your opinion is on what should happen going forward?
I can go first. I personally, I don't think, does anybody here actually use TikTok or have it downloaded?
No.
Yeah, me neither. So I personally just don't find TikTok appealing, but I know many, many people do. In fact, it's like a crazy amount of people, almost
including
everyone.
People in our school too.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's interesting. If I may continue here, it's interesting that none of us have any personal interest in specifically the service itself. There appears to be a great deal of confusion over the ownership structure, and it's very, very interesting. The original company, which is the Chinese company everyone's worrying about, ByteDance, has no ownership will have no ownership as soon as the deal is closed. And it's interesting. This is like an actively unfolding situation. This is just information that's from last week. There have been a lot of confusing information sent, and people are just freaking out right and left because this is considered unprecedented because a company is being split, essentially a social media platform is being split across geographical lines, which experts say has never happened before. Then again, I'm not sure what experts there are because social media has only been around for a little while. But again, what are your thoughts? And I guess maybe we should move on if no one has anything to say.
Yeah, I honestly think it's like weird. I know it's a Chinese owned company, but it still feels very like there are a lot of other, I feel like there could be a lot of more pressing matters than banning an app because it's owned by Chinese or a Chinese company.
Yeah, like, considering what we have going on right now too, with like all the fires and everything, it doesn't really seem like that matters right now.
Yeah, and
a lot of people have claimed that the president is trying to redirect focus of the media and I guess just the general public's attention away from what the administration is doing incorrectly in specifically with the pandemic and the recession and the wildfires. So that's a great point. It's very strange.
Yeah, it feels very
It feels superficial is what it feels like.
Yeah.
It feels like there's little to no reason to talk about it. But it's interesting. Also, I guess to take away from, I guess, more controversial topics, I believe, Ben, you have a word of the week for us. And I suppose none of us have ever heard it before, except for you. So I guess me and Isaac are going to try to guess as soon as you let us know what it is, spell it, give a sentence and an example.
All right. Our word of the week is sinuous, S-I-N-U-O-U-S.
U-O-U-S, like that?
Yep.
Okay. And sinuous, does that mean someone's committing a sin?
No.
Okay.
Can you give us a sentence?
Give us a good sentence.
A man was moving in a sinuous manner.
Okay, so it has to do with, all right, so is it like kind of like a strut? Like a, proud kind of strut?
Is it a verb, an adjective, a noun? What is it?
It's an adjective.
Okay, does that have multiple meanings?
No, I think it's just one direct meaning.
Okay, it's just one meaning. And you didn't get this from Urban Dictionary, right? Because that
nope.
would... Okay, good. We don't want any fake words. All right, sinuous. Sinuous, sinuous, sinuous. Like insinuating? Does it have anything to do with that?
No.
Okay, it's not... It's not like guessing. It's not committing like a crime, is it?
Nope.
It's not like in the nature of being evil.
Wait, although, so it's an adjective.
Is it negative at all?
It's kind of weird, but it's like kind of like related to the word sin, though.
So it like, is, but it isn't, is what you're
saying. It almost kind of seems biblical based on what like sin represents. About a certain creature.
Oh, okay. So a creature, like an animal related. Interesting.
How? All right. Tell us what it means. Give us. Yeah.
So sinuous is of a serpentine or wave form. So like if you were walking kind of like in a serpentine way.
Oh, so like a snake?
Yeah, like snake-like movements.
Okay. Well, there's the word of the day.
Weak.
Weak. Yes, weak.
Oh, so being a snake is sinuous, huh?
Or moving like one, I guess.
you said that it had a connection to the word sin. Is that,
well,
where did that
come from? Yeah, it kind of felt like how, you know, how snakes and sin are usually grouped together. Or like snakes is just being evil.
I suppose, but I would say that was a misleading connection you made. Because a symbol may not be interpreted by everyone the same way. But still, a very good choice of word, and we're interested to see in what word you come up with for next week. So thank you for that, Ben.
Speaking of words, did any of you watch the debate last night?
Yes.
Trump versus
thank you,
Biden.
Thank you for the segue, because I actually have the article up in front of me. And all right, so last night, because today is the 30th, last night was the 29th. And I believe it was held, let me just find out where it was held. It was at, it was in Case Western Reserve University, which I believe is, please just load the page. Okay. It is in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah.
And so it was Donald Trump versus Joe Biden, and the moderator was Chris Wallace. And it was from 9 to 10 p.m., which I believe that is in that in Central Time, so it'll be 8 to 9 p.m. Mountain Time.
Yeah.
All right. And there are also two other debates after this, three total, October 15th and October 22nd. So 2 weeks until the next one, and then a week after that one until the final one.
Yeah.
And also not as important, but I would like to mention, because it's a pretty important Utah thing, there is the vice presidential debate, the first of which is October 7th, next Tuesday, by which time we'll have this podcast next week, and I think we'll be talking about it, but a little more introspectively, because it is being held at none other than the University of Utah.
So I've heard from like people like talking about it, but I don't really know what it was about. What was so like outraging about it that people?
I am glad that you asked. Now, the I would say the main reason is because the debaters. As I think we should refer to them, not necessarily as candidates, the debaters did not stick to the and I have to make this clear, they were mutually agreed rules. No one person set these rules. Both campaigns agreed to stick to the same rules, and neither candidate followed these rules. There were some times towards the end when things started to cool down, but people are saying it might have been the worst televised presidential debate in history.
Yeah. Actually, on October 15th, the people who host it are actually going to set down very specific guidelines and rules that must be followed.
This is interesting. Can you expand on that?
So the group that sponsored the presidential debates says it will make formal changes to the next showdown between the President Donald Trump and Democratic challenger Joe Biden to maintain order after the first debate, which was it wasn't most debates are very formal and not really like personal, but these two went at each other. They really just it felt like basically a verbal fist fight.
People were saying that they were likening the two of them to kindergartners fighting on the playground, which I would say if you watch it, I was watching it live. I do have to make a disclaimer. I did not watch the first 20 minutes or so, but I was there for the majority of the end, which had more of the content people are talking about. The more notable points are that the president was interrupting a lot more than Biden was, because that is actually the strategy of his campaign. That was their strategy during this debate, is what they wanted to do is they wanted to make sure that they wanted to try to rile Biden up essentially and make him like explode and scream and, you know, seem like the lesser man. But I would say, considering the circumstances, he stood up pretty well to the amount of firepower that the president was leveling at him.
If I may, Isaac,
and then I'll let you go ahead, are that one of the best examples of this is that at any given point, you'll most likely see the president looking at Biden and Biden looking at the camera, because that signifies the president fighting against his opponent, but Biden's just trying to talk to us as the populace.
And kind of like
instead of just being all political. But yeah, go ahead, Ben. Go ahead, Isaac. My piece is done, and then I'll talk a little later.
Kind of like a rule in debate too is you don't want to look at the other person, because it kind of gives off the feeling that you're purposely jabbing at them to get them to say something.
Well, I don't think he was trying to hide it. I think he wanted to make that very obvious, because that's what his supporters wanted, was like fighting, because that's what makes people happy, I guess, which I mean, it doesn't make me happy, but I guess that's what the people that go for wrestling and boxing are. They like love tension. Violence. Yeah, and tension was what they wanted, but there were a lot of problems. When they actually did answer questions, there were sidesteps, there were all, you know, there were missayings, there were false claims, false facts, and I would say, not to be biased, but if you look at it purely by counting the number of times, the president did lie more often than Biden did. But you also have to take into account the president talked more than Biden did. But that was also partly because during the bits of time when they were allowed to talk and the other one was supposed to give a rebuttal, they would just break in on a point they didn't agree with, and then they would just hammer. They would talk over the moderator, they would talk over the other person, and they would just keep trying to get their point across. They were just trying to hammer down the other person. And both people did this. It's not spread, but it must also be mentioned that there were points when the president refused to, well, he didn't necessarily refuse, but he also didn't agree. He refused to accept that climate change was scientifically proven and happening. He refused to condemn white supremacy. And he also still refused to acknowledge that he would accept the results of the election and have a peaceful transition. So these things, I would say, are very disturbing just for the future of the country, even just in the next 6 months, if not longer than that. And there was more stuff said about how mail-in voting is fraudulent, which it is not. And if there are any, you know, students listening who are of the age of voting, and Biden spoke greatly to this. He said, vote, 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 vote. And that is the main message that most Democrats are trying to say, is just vote, you know. And it doesn't matter for who, but it, I would feel that, I guess some people would think it comes across that way, because the Republicans are not saying this. They are generally being more silent and letting the president speak for them, almost. But again, I've said a long piece, so I'll turn this back over to you guys, and you can say something else, and then I think we'll move on to a less heated topic.
There was a lot of, I don't know, jabbing, and it even went so far as just attacking Biden's kids. And
he didn't even know about his family, because he actually specifically said, I don't know Beau Biden, who was Joe Biden's younger son, who served in the military and actually passed away from brain cancer 5 years ago. And President totally stepped around that, because, and then he treated Beau Biden as if it was Hunter Biden, who I'm sure you've heard about, is the person who the president is accusing of getting money from Ukraine officials and Russian officials and corruption and all that stuff. But, and I'm just saying this as a consumer of media, I hadn't really heard anything about this since January until last night. And it really felt like he was just bringing that up to get in a little personal jab at Biden's family. And it seemed totally uncalled for and out of place and kind of pointless almost.
Yeah, it didn't feel like it pertained to the debate at all. It just felt like it was really to punch him in the gut and tell him that, yeah, just try and get him to react. And yeah, that's just not cool.
Yeah, I would say the biggest lesson from this debate is that almost ignore it in a way, because very little happened that changed people's minds. If anything, it further ingrained them with their candidate of choice, and maybe even independents are starting to not want to vote at all, because it's really it went from shocking to just sort of depressing at the end, because the president was trying to set Biden off, but he fell apart while trying to do so, and they both collapsed into a really it was kind of a sad mess, because you realize at some point during watching this debate, you realize neither of these people are who would be the best people in the country to run the country. But yeah, we don't have any other choice.
Yeah.
And that is what truly frightens me as a future voter. Isaac, over to you.
Yeah, it's, you know, especially with coronavirus and all that, they both had a lot of different views on how they would handle it and stuff like that. Trump just kind of ignored it, and Biden said that he wouldn't have, which I don't know if that's true or if that's not, but yeah. And speaking of coronavirus, in Utah right now, there are 73,000 cases that are confirmed cases.
Isaac, is there a way that you could give us the combined numbers? You might have to do a little math of how many new cases there have been since the last recording of this podcast on Friday.
Yeah, let's
see. So just in the last 5 days.
Yeah, sorry.
Because I believe the numbers are still going up, new cases day over day. And also maybe, can you tell us what area is increasing the most? Like what area has the most density of cases?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I'm gonna.
Oh, you're totally good.
All right, so from last time, which was the 26th, right, Groden? So from that time, we have gained 24,000. Not 24,000, 2,400, sorry, new cases.
Sorry, it was the 25th, Friday the 25th.
Oh, gotcha.
2,400 since then?
3,400.
Sorry.
3,400.
So 3,400 new Utahns have been infected. And since, give us the numbers just for Salt Lake County and then the deaths as well.
Yeah, so now currently we have basically 32,000 cases in Salt Lake County.
Okay.
2,000 have been hospitalized, and we have 253 deaths within the Salt Lake County. And Salt Lake County, the next county in second place, I guess. I don't want to say second place. That sounds wrong.
It sounds conclusory, but we know what you mean. So
yeah. Utah County with 20,000. So the difference between Utah and Salt Lake is, or Utah County and Salt Lake County is very large, over basically 10,000 cases.
Okay.
And yeah.
Yeah. And 1 second, Isaac, if I may stop you there. I think it would be prudent to have like a 30-second moment of silence for all those who have been afflicted by COVID-19 throughout this, throughout the entirety of the pandemic, all around the world, and especially those who have family members or just loved ones, or even themselves hospitalized, or those who have lost their lives this pandemic. So we'll mute ourselves and pick up in 30 seconds. All right. Thank you for joining us in that. Thank you for bringing us that information, Isaac. It was very informative. And as always, as we proceed deeper and deeper into this pandemic, we have to just stay strong. Remember to wear a mask, social distance while you're outside, and enjoy your Zoom school, because we'll be doing it for quite a while, it seems. And is there anything else we have to talk about? I believe one of you had information on West High Sports.
Yeah, I specifically have information on our football team. And
interesting.
This season we've been doing really well, actually.
Oh, really? That's good to hear.
Yeah, as we spoke of in previous podcasts, we are now 5-2.
Ooh.
Our most recent win against Taylorsville, it was 58-21.
Wow. You know, it's interesting. I think this is the first year that I've been at West where our sports teams have done marginally well. And since football is a sport many people care about, I think this is interesting. This is a very good record for us. I don't suppose there's any way you could find out when the last time we've done this well is. Could you, like, check future year? Prior years. We're not predicting the future or anything.
Yeah, I can look that up.
All right, and Ben, do you have any school news for us? And if you don't, I can just get it real quick.
Yeah, I don't really know if I have any school news that's already been said.
All right. If we're going, I think we'll, I'll just go ahead then. So we have, there is a very large scholarship every year. I don't know if you've heard of it. It is the National Merit Scholarship. And there are quite a few semifinalists for it just from West High. I am going to go through, and I hope, I swear, if I mess these up, if I mispronounce them, I am so sorry, and you can ask us for a retraction. Congratulations to the following students: Rory Beals, Hugo Escobar, Santiago Ibarra, Sydney Kotruba, Christopher Lee, Timothy Lang, Daphne Liu, Lillian Morath, Trevor Skeen, Clara Tandar, Dylan Tang, Reese Whitlock, Rachel Willick, Sylvia Ji, Xiang Yu, and Maria Jatchev. That was a difficult name to pronounce, but congratulations, because they are among 16,000 students nationwide chosen to be semifinalists thanks to their academic efforts, extravagantic extracurricular participation, and teacher recommendations. We also have more information from the district about remote learning. If you ever check the district website, slcschools.org, the district posted an update just yesterday morning. And just continuing Isaac's segment, the district has given out more guidance for remote learning throughout the school year. As I believe it is the interim superintendent, Larry Madden, begins saying, the priority of the district is the health and safety of students, families, and employees. The capacity for returning to in-person learning. The specific metrics for these are two specific points. This is what we want to hit. A positive test rate of COVID-19 in Salt Lake County below 5% for 7 consecutive days. And, this is separate, a COVID-19 positive case count of fewer than 10 in 100,000 residents of Salt Lake County. Over the last 7 days, Salt Lake County has had a positive test rating of 11% from the 20th to the 27th, and a positive case count of 32 per 100,000 people. And we will continue remote learning through the end of the first quarter, which ends on November 9th, regardless of what happens from now until then. The Board of Education will discuss plans for the second quarter throughout October. And also parents and families will receive surveys today, asking for feedback, and the survey will be open through October 5th. There will also be a Board of Education meeting on October 6th at 6:30 on the YouTube channel, which can be found at youtube.com/slcschools. Now we're back to the West website. And there is information for taking concurrent enrollment classes and how to register and more information about them, which you can find. There's also information on internships for the CTE program. And you can also find the school day schedule and get printable copies, transcripts, and how to set up a Canvas account for your parents if you still haven't gotten it. Also, since the last episode of this podcast, we did have the second bit of the back-to-school night, if you did miss it. Not another part of it, but...
I couldn't find any past... scores or anything like that. So
that's perfectly fine. This brings us to the end of season 2, episode 3 of TV West Saves the World, the official West High School podcast. With me, I had Ben Bolton and Isaac Youngberg. I'd like to give them a round of applause for participating. And I think we'll close it out. I'm Brogan Nilsson for TV West and TV West Saves the World.
I'm Isaac Youngberg.
I'm Ben Bolton.
And hear
you
later.
Bye.
Bye.